reading is taken from John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15, can be found on page 1069. So that's John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. It's Jesus feeding the 5,000. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs that he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. And when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed those to who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And when they had all enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Ruth. It's not often that the preacher begins by asking somebody to go away and not listen to the sermon, but I'm going to suggest that for the owner of a black Sephira, CY61JVG. JVG, your lights are on, and if you sit in here and listen to all of my sermon, your battery will be flat by the end of it. So if that's your car, you're excused. No excuses for the rest of you. I expect you to stay till the end of the sermon. It's lovely to be here. It's lovely to be church again and to celebrate God's goodness together. We are so blessed, and I feel so blessed. Last week, I came along to church in the morning and I sat at the back there and I was sitting in church and this is what I thought. I thought, this is a really nice church. It'd be really nice to be vicar here. And then the thought occurred to me, actually, Mark, you are. And I thought, wow, that's even better, isn't it? That's really, really good. And we're going to be looking at that passage that hopefully you've got open in your Bibles from John 6, verses 1 to 15. An amazing bit. As many of you know, for many years, I studied as a mathematician and I was a teacher specializing in mathematics. And I love mathematics, but I also like words and the clever things that you can do with words. I love the way that so many anagrams are very apt and fit well together. So you've probably seen some of these before. If you take the letters in the eyes, it's an anagram of "they see." I think, isn't it nice when things work out just like that? Fir cones come from conifers, literally, and if you move the letters around. If you've got the Morse code, and that's an anagram of "here come dots," which is very good. One I particularly like as both a mathematician and someone who likes words is the fact that 11 plus 2, you can do the sum, works out exactly the same as 12 plus 1. Both in mathematics and in the letters as well, which is amazing. There are others as well, maybe we shouldn't go there. Mother-in-law, of course, is an anagram of "woman Hitler." So maybe we won't go there. So I love the way when things just fall into place. And when I looked at this story of, you'll know it as 5 loaves and 2 fish, then these actual things popped out to me as I prepared this talk for you today. So things for you to remember. 5 bits of bread for you and 2 fish for us to enjoy this morning. But before we go any further, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray as we unpack it and think through the story of Jesus feeding 5,000 people, that we will be challenged and you will move us on in our discipleship. This we ask for your glory. Amen. So 5 bits of bread, 2 fish to enjoy. Our story begins with Jesus taking his disciples away up a mountain. They're actually trying, if you read the Gospels, trying to spend some time away from the crowds. That was a plan. It had been a busy time, and Jesus wanted to retreat and have a bit of peace and quiet just with his small group of disciples and have a bit of a rest. But it wasn't to be. Even the way Jesus plans things, it doesn't always go to plan. There's some lovely words by Selwyn Hughes that I quote from time to time. Life is more chaotic than orderly. And this is what I quote in my family when it's all gone wrong and we plan things. And I quote Selwyn Hughes and say, life is more chaotic than orderly. I like things to be ordered. I'm that sort of person. But life is chaotic and it doesn't always go to plan. Not even here for Jesus and the disciples. And not even here for us in the church of St. Michael's. And not even for you or for me in our personal lives. So as we begin, like if you're going through a tough time at the moment, if things are chaotic rather than orderly in your life, remember Jesus knows all about it. He planned something here let's get away to the disciples, and it didn't go exactly as it was even planned. Imagine the scene. They've gone across the lake by boat. That's a good idea to escape. And then they start to climb up a hill on another side, again to try and get some time. But from their vantage points, they begin to see the vast crowds that were with them making their way slowly around the lake and then slowly climbing up the hill towards them. Jesus sees the potential to see how well his disciples can solve a problem. And he challenges Peter to think hard. Where can we get bread to feed all this lot? He asks. He challenges Peter. And that's our first point. Use your loaf. Jesus, it says, deliberately asked the question to test Peter. That's what it says here. Jesus knew what he was going to do already, but he wanted Peter to think, to use his loaf. We've been given brains by God, and we need to use them. We need to use our minds to get to grips with difficult questions, to think through challenges from Scripture, and to work out what things mean. I was in a meeting on Tuesday, and JD, my curate from here, was giving a talk to us as clergy. And he was sharing a story that when he was called to be a vicar, and he said to people in his church that he was going to go off to theological college, he was given advice by somebody, don't go to theological college, you'll lose your faith. And he thought this was really strange, thinking that the Christian faith is deep enough to examine deeply with our brains. It will stand up to inspection, to reason, to academic research. We've been given brains by God, and we need to use them to do things like Bible study, to think through difficult theological questions. I remember being challenged when I was younger. I was going to a church, and the sermon was entitled on the notice sheet, Don't Pray About Everything. And I thought, that sounds a bit dodgy. Surely we should pray at all times and pray about everything. But I thought, I'll give this one a go, see what the preacher says. And the preacher started telling a story about a woman who would pray about everything in her life. She'd pray about what to wear every day, which brand of hand cream on the shelves she should buy, asking for the leading of the Holy Spirit, what she should have for breakfast when she got up in the morning, what she should watch on television in the evening. And the preacher went on and said, actually, there are things that we shouldn't pray about. We don't need to pray about these things. There are two categories of decisions we don't need to pray about. Firstly, the ones that we know are already right or wrong. We don't need to ask God to help us decide whether or not we should read our Bible. It's a yes. We don't need to pray now and ask God whether we should thump than person sitting next to us? The answer is, it's a no. It's a no. There are some things we know are right or wrong. The Bible has already told us that, and we don't need to pray for wisdom on that. And actually, there are some things that don't matter very much, and we don't need to worry about them. Does it matter which pew I sit in this morning? Does it matter whether I wear brown shoes or black? I'm sure God doesn't mind either way. We've been given free will to make decisions, to think. You've been given a brain, and we need to use it to make some of our decisions. I remember even some of the big decisions in my life when I've prayed. I prayed about the selection, as you do, as a wife. And I met the lovely Joanne at university, and I prayed to God, please, God, can I marry her? Is she the one for me? Because I really rather liked her. I still do, by the way. And I said, can I? And I really felt God saying to me, you can if you want to. And I thought, what a strange answer. What a strange answer. You can if you want to. And many other decisions in my life, I've seemed to have the same response. You can if you want to. Think, use your brain. What is it? What is your heart's desire? Where are you being led to? Here, Peter is being asked to think. Think through. Where should I buy bread for these people to eat? A trick question. There was no bread going to be bought there. But he wanted Peter to think, to try and solve things, to use his loaf. Secondly, avoid a bloomer. Think carefully how you respond to things. We've got two disciples mentioned by name in our passage. The first, Philip, was probably picked on to answer the questions. He was the local lad, and he didn't really have any idea. The second one that comes along, Andrew, has half of the answer. He's getting there, but he still lacks faith. He gets it wrong. What good can these little loaves and a bit of fish do? There are thousands of people out there. It's going to be no good. Both of these disciples had got it wrong. They were looking at earthly answers, and they made the mistake of excluding Jesus from their thinking. Yes, we need to think, but we need to include Jesus in our thinking. We need to avoid that bloomer of leaving God out of the equation, because he is able to provide. I wonder what it is that you're thinking about in your life at the moment. What are your worries and concerns? Are you trying to solve your problems with earthly resources, or looking up to see how God can help? The little boy here, he gives us our third bit of bread, giving all that he has. He reminds us that we all have a role to play. He gives his contribution, all that he has, his whole packed lunch. We all have a role to play. Our contribution to God's work might seem small. I wonder what this boy thought. Here he was with five little bits of bread and two fish. And there were thousands and thousands of people to feed. What good could it do? But that, again, if you think like that, you're leaving Jesus out of the equation. We've all got our role to play. We look at our world, we see thousands of people going hungry. We see thousands of people hungry spiritually, hungry for God. Millions needing to hear about God's love for them. Billions needing to know about a Saviour's love. What good will our little bit do? But this boy's contribution showed what our tiny contribution, coupled with God's power, can actually do. We do have a role to play. Are we willing to play our role this morning? The next bit of bread we have in the story is whole meal. Jesus provides the whole meal for everybody. He takes just a few tiny loaves and a couple of fish and feeds thousands and thousands. And it's one of the most successful and famous picnics of all time. Our God is amazingly generous. There were loads of leftovers. And even the leftovers were many times greater than what was there at the beginning. Everybody had enough to eat. They were fully satisfied, it says. Jesus provides the whole meal. I wonder if this morning you're hungry for more of God in your life. Ask him to fill you, to satisfy you. Ask him for more of his love in your life. So those overflowing leftovers can then be shared with all those around. There's a lovely verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. God is able to bless you abundantly. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. All those alls and evers. That's how amazingly God blesses us. In all things, at all times, having all we need, you will abound in every good work. He can give us abundantly more than what we need. Our God is a God of abundance, a God of plenty. The sheer extravagance that you get here. I talked at the beginning about being a mathematician, and I'm sure Jesus could have done the sums correctly. He could have got just the right amount of food for those thousands of people. He could have done the mathematics. But no, he made so much, there were actually 12 basketfuls left over. It was too much food. They were all full. That's how good our God is. And we come to our final bit of bread in the story. What bit of bread this? Well, it's in verse 12, and it's a muffin. Let muffin be wasted, says Jesus here. I wondered, at the beginning when I read this, I wondered, why do you think it was that Jesus wanted all of the leftovers to be collected? Surely then, you know, the crowds could have taken it home for their tea. It's a long journey back. They'd climbed a hill and come round the lake. Perhaps they could all take a bit home with them. They'd eaten what they got and take a bit for them. Jesus could easily produce more in the same way he made in the first place. Why didn't he send it all back with them? And why worry anyway about the waste if it could be produced so easily? He produces food in abundance. Why bother that there was too much left over? Could have left it out for the birds. Or why was bothered about the waste? But he said, let nothing be wasted. I think the answer is probably twofold. Firstly, it was the custom of the Jews, as it is with good Cardiganshire people today, to make sure that muffin is wasted. It was a Jewish tradition. Jesus was keeping to it. That was how they would treat their food. Secondly, this miracle, or the sign, as John calls it here, has got important teaching points for the crowd. One thing they learned from watching the disciples go around the huge crowd, gathering the leftovers, was the importance of being careful with God's resources. A lesson, again, for us today. When we look at God's creation, look at our world, we remind ourselves to be careful. Don't waste it. Don't waste the earth's natural resources. As we think about how we treat our world, how we treat creation on this Creation Sunday, it challenges us to learn to live less selfishly and become aware of how our actions affect others. So five bits of bread. But you say, Mark, what about the fish? You promised me five loaves and two fish. Well, of course, there are fish here. First fish comes as the crowd are astounded at what happens. And they start to mull it over in their mind to try and work it all out what it means. Verse 14, after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. They were starting to think, right where we begin at the beginning, who is this man? And it started to dawn on them as they thought it over. This is the one. This is the Messiah. This is God's Son come into the world. They were starting to think about the miracle they'd seen and who the person was standing before them. It challenges us too. What does this miracle mean to you today? Have you fully realized who Jesus is? God's Son, the chosen one, the one come to set his people free. He is the one. This wasn't some sort of conjuring trick with bread and fish, like you might see in a magic show on television. This was the Son of God performing a miracle, yet another sign that he'd been sent by God. And a lesson to the people there, and a lesson to us today. As the people there had been satisfied with food at the picnic and gone away full, so they learnt too that they will find their spiritual satisfaction in him. As they've been filled with bread and fish, they can be filled with the Holy Spirit. This was life-changing for the people at the time, and it can be life-changing for us today. Has it changed your life? We challenge ourselves. Have we found our satisfaction in God himself? Are we filled with his Spirit? The prophet who is to come into the world. This was the one. As they begin to mull it over, they realized there was more than food for the body. There was food for the soul. A final bit of fish for you. Jesus provides food for the soul. All that we need is found in him. Saint Augustine of Hippo once said, "Our hearts are restless until they find rest in you," which is true about us. Where do we go for that food to nourish our soul? Look, we need to look no further than Jesus. That's what the crowds learned then, and that's what we need to learn today. So if this morning, if we're spiritually hungry, if we need food for our soul, if we're struggling, we can turn to the one that fed and filled thousands, and he can feed us too. Later on in our service, we're going to come forward for communion, a special time of remembering God's amazing love for us that led to his Son giving his life for us. A good opportunity as you kneel. Why not ask for a new filling of God's Spirit today? We've always got prayer ministry in the side chapel towards the end of the service. They'll pray for you. If life is for you more chaotic than orderly, if things are not going well, if you just want more of God's abundance in your life and know something of his blessing, go and receive prayer. But now as we sit, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this example in Scripture of Jesus challenging and teaching his disciples and showing them by his actions all that he can provide. We pray that you will help us to look to you and rely on you for all of our needs. We pray that you will help us to give to you all that we have to use, however limited our resources are. We pray that you will fill our lives, our souls and bodies with your love, that we might serve you and in all that we do, bring glory to your name. Amen.